A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. shopify.com/retail23.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about cold showers. Can they expand your life? Can they make your life better? Can they give you energy? Can they stop the aging process? We're also going to be talking about showers in general. Does washing your body just make you more oily? These are the things we want to talk about.
I love how you said expand your life.
Expand
your life or lifespan.
The length of your life.
But I was like, open my horizons.
Wait, but honestly,
expand your mind.
That's what some bros will tell you.
Insider tip, there was a time when we had a side brand called Expand Your Mind. Remember that?
Oh yeah. What the hell
was
that for?
No, this was the weird age of Facebook where our page on Facebook was not allowed to you had to have a separate kind of page to post videos or something like that.
I want
to
flip a table every time I think about Facebook doing anything.
Actually, yeah, let's not.
No, but it's literally they made us do that. They made us do all this work because they were like, if you do this, I don't even know what they promised us. I don't even know what the hell we were thinking.
It was their whole pivot to video, and they were like, you need a video page, but your page is a fan page, and you can't convert it, so you have to make a new one.
And everything about the design of Facebook is maybe the ugliest thing I've ever seen. So the process of creating that page, we were on phone calls with Facebook people, and they're like, we don't know what to tell you. We don't really know what that icon is.
Is this interesting to people? I hope. But it was truly, this is insider baseball, if you've ever heard of it, where you get the inside scoop on ASAP.
Well, actually, more inside scoop. We are in a new space.
Oh, yeah,
I wonder if they can tell.
Well,
it feels like it's different. Sounding.
Yeah, the acoustics will be different. It's much more echoey. We're at our office loft. We gotta get used to it. I think we need to actually make it not nicer, but I would love to have the little side note sign behind us and make it very cozy.
I feel very erect. Whoa, I'm horny.
Yeah, because we're not on a couch.
In these chairs, which it feels very Oprah. It feels very
talk about this again when we're on the YouTube. You can see how different it is. It's just us against a different wall that's plain.
I don't know if I like being erect. I mean, obviously, I like being erect. But I don't know if I like being erect like this in a chair. I can't decide.
I like it right now. Actually, I like the support. Sometimes a couch is too droopy and I get uncomfortable. This is I can sit here for a while.
I like being droopy and almost as if no one's listening so I can say crazy stuff and feel no one's listening even though I'm talking into a microphone, which is crazy. What's crazy? What we're doing right now. What you're doing right now too.
What, crossing my legs?
No, talking into a microphone in this room.
Actually, yeah.
This is insane.
It's way more.
Now that we're in a new space, I'm actually feel absurd.
A podcast is so stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're literally just.
But tell all your friends and family, subscribe.
Yeah, and rate it and leave a review.
And seriously, the word of mouth is all that matters for podcasts, and we really think we give you valuable information.
But actually, you're right. Now that, and I actually can't even look at you because it feels so weird to now be in a different space.
Thank God we're not stoned for this one. I think I would probably vomit on this mic.
I kind of feel stoned because I just came from a massage. Wow. Lucky me, we're on vacation. And not that I only get massages on vacation, but I feel very loopy.
And for those, tell all your friends and family about the massage episode. Go back about, I don't know, 25. There's a whole episode on massages. Do they really work? Are they helpful? Boom. Plugging. Okay, let's move on.
No, it's crazy. I'm sorry. I need to listen to that.
I know.
I don't remember doing that. I'm curious what the answer is.
I always get massages now, and I'm like, well, it's certainly not helping my post-sports thing.
But it feels amazing.
No, I know, but I'm like, well, anyways. Yeah, yeah. You need to go listen to your own episode about massages.
Okay.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
You go first. Oh. I'm being Dom top.
You are Dom
go
today.
Go first, man.
Dom daddy. Okay, mine's about vegetarianism, and there was a new study that found in the United States, people...
I wouldn't call them united that much anymore. Let me tell you that. What divided. Kind of okay, okay, okay. We're not okay. going there. We're not going there.
Relax.
We're not going there.
Okay, coming back. How, without looking at my notes, because I know you'll just stare at my notes and steal my ideas. I'm just kidding.
I'm going to flip this table.
What kind of person do you associate with a vegetarian or a vegan? Like, when it comes to demographics?
Oh, God, I hate to say this out loud, but white person with dreads. As a vegetarian, I'm like, what? People who are morally sound, but like, oh, my God, like, this is so bad. But I'm like, maybe like more annoying.
Well, this will be really interesting.
No, wait, I take this all back. No, this isn't getting recorded, right? This isn't getting recorded, right?
This
is
actually just for fun. This is a practice.
No, great people, better people.
Yes, but you said the thing that this study found. People strongly associate vegetarianism with whiteness in America.
Oh, wow.
But that is not the actuality, which is interesting. So this study found...
Hello, India.
Yeah, but in America. Right?
Oh, so still, like we're talking.
Yeah, exactly. So there's lots of, obviously, I'll talk about this later, but a huge percentage of Indian people in India. And so you can probably extrapolate that lots of Indians in America are also vegetarians. Yeah. But the way people associated with was white people first, Asian people second, and least strongly with Black and Latino people.
Huh.
But white people are actually the least likely to be vegetarian.
Oh my God.
And Black Americans are 3 times more likely to be vegetarian than other Americans.
That's fascinating.
8% of Black Americans are strict vegans or vegetarians compared to just 3% of the general population.
Because it's truly like pitched to you as annoying white people. And we need to change that narrative.
Yeah. I think there's lots of different like African cultures, Asian cultures that inherently have like so many vegetarian meals.
Yeah.
And then I was like reading some discourse around this and it was funny because people are like, actually, when you think about it, when you think about the people who are like meatitarians, like I only eat meat. It's like, well, that's, I picture white people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's true.
But there are some cultures that you think of if you go to a restaurant, like, isn't like, I already lost the kind of place in South America. I was thinking in my mind, like Argentinian food, is it meat? Or which one?
Oh,
is like,
yeah, yeah. That's
or
like,
even like Korean barbecue, you like associate with like lots of meats and
or
stuff.
Or even but, like, well, now I'm thinking about Ethiopian food. It's like whenever, like we're vegetarian and the Ethiopian vegetarian options are amazing.
Yeah, like equally as good to the meat ones that
so
you
I'm
don't
like,
feel
like. Yeah, that's
it.
Like a place that's so easy to be veggie.
Interestingly, on the same note, a poll by Gallup found that 31% of non-white Americans have reduced their meat consumption in the past year. This was like a year or two ago.
Oh, that's good.
But only 19% of white Americans had. So actually it's like POCs are reducing their meat consumption at a higher rate. And in general to the population of America are already more likely to be vegetarian.
Every day there's just stats piling in about why white people are the worst. Like it's like from it's, all okay, angles. Yeah. No, but it's great. It's great. It's important. It's just like so funny. It's
but
like
it
every
is
angle.
Interesting
it's like,
that
yeah,
there's this sort of like yuppie idea of like privileged, affluent white people are vegetarians. And
it's
that
because
is
there
true.
Are those like vegan bowls, assable
like
places
so many
that
places.
Are so expensive and overpriced. And they're more like health conscious. I bet you can get grilled chicken on all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's just really cool because stats don't lie, except sometimes they do. But that's really good information.
I would say the last little tidbit is you mentioned India. So it's estimated that 20 to 39% of the population is vegetarian. So now we're talking outside of America. The second country, are you looking at my notes? Did you just see what the second country is?
No, you always
you
do this.
Stare at my computer.
No, because there's nowhere else to look because you put it right in front of my face. But I'm not. I'm literally thinking in my head.
So what do you think the second country?
With like country or continent?
Country. Most. So India is the highest vegetarian rate.
Okay, yeah.
Number two, if you had to guess.
God, like. No, Bangladesh, we went there. They ate so much meat. Oh, actually, I don't know. I don't know anything.
It will surprise you.
Like America?
It's Mexico.
Oh.
Number two in the world, 19% of the population, vegetarian.
Wow.
And then Canada is number 21 with 7.6%.
Good Lord.
And America is number 35.
I can't believe I said America. I'm so embarrassed.
Anyway.
Mexico.
Yeah. Good job, Mexico.
And there's so many people there, too. Like, that's so many vegetarians.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a small country like totally. Us.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, literally, there's no one in our country. It's empty. Cool.
I mean, like, maybe it's, like, part of not being able to grow vegetables for, like, 6 months of the year here. Like, maybe it's, like, somehow embedded into our culture that it's, like, easier. Although, like, you're...
No.
Store vegetables. And we obviously have vegetables all year round.
Yeah, we have whatever we want all year round. We're this most gluttonous, disgusting country on earth. Okay. Wow. Did someone just knock on the door? Oh my God, guys. It's our first, like that. You know, sometimes in podcasts, like, parcels come. I actually hate when that happens.
Oh.
When people are like, oh, I'm going to the door. I'm like, no, you're not. You're on a podcast. Be professional. Anyways, that was just not actually a knock, obviously.
And where we said... Why do I keep hearing a knock?
No, it's just noises.
I'm scared.
Mitch always scared. Goes to fear. More on that later.
And we're, like, right by the door of the entrance. And I'm just like, is everyone out there listening? It's so embarrassing.
Oh, God. Do you think our neighbors can hear us?
Yes.
That's... Hell
no, but that would be crazy.
Don't you think they just think we're having a very active conversation?
Yeah, they're like, they're so peppy.
Be like, wow, I wish my relationship was like them. They keep talking over each other with stats all the time.
Yeah, little, but outside of this hour, they're like, they're absolutely silent.
Yeah, yeah. Like, literally don't talk, or there's music blasting, and I always leave the door, like, singing Bad Bunny, like, middle of the note, open the door, and they're just, like, eating breakfast outside. And I'm like, hey! And they're just like, yeah, shut the hell up. Okay. So, what I learned this week was that... I still don't even believe this. Like, I was read it in a book, and then I was doing research, and I was like, why is this not right? Okay, so the earliest reproductive organism... So reproductive organism that wasn't just like cloning itself. Like, that's like how reproduction used to occur. Like, was an egg laying organism.
Okay.
And therefore is defined as a female. So, like, with the biology of, like, animals and species, it's really interesting because it's like, obviously there's a lot of intersex species, but, like, male and female are terms that we often use a lot in the animal kingdom. Mm-hmm. But obviously, like, for humans it's really complicated. We have culture, we have all these other, like, things going on. But scientists estimate that 600 to 800 million years ago, the only creatures in existence were cloning egg-laying creatures who were females. Hmm. But then males likely only arrive on, like, the evolutionary timeline 350 million years ago when, like, gametes started to diverge in size, and it was the dawn of sex.
Hmm.
So it's like maleness evolved only, like, as an adaptation to femaleness.
Interesting.
So it's kind of, I just like the idea of, like...
Did you give a timeline for both of those? It was like...
Yeah, so 600, 800 million years ago, that's like, is the egg-laying organisms. Okay. 350 million years ago is like when maleness evolves. Like
hundreds of millions of years later.
Yeah, and it's also just like, I always do this culture thing, but it's like, males are running the world. It's like, why? We are, like, the literal, like, pathetic little thing that, like, grew out of females. Literally. It's just interesting.
Yeah, and there's, that is really interesting.
It's a really cool book. It's called Bitch. And it's all about, like, how females have been perceived by scientists and science so incorrectly. And they just go through all these species and all these, like, radical, interesting feminist scientists who are also sometimes men, sometimes women, sometimes in between, sometimes non-binary, who are just, like, completely changing the way that scientists talk about what it means to be female. And there is so much insane shit that Darwin said and that these people said that you're like, oh my God, I forgot that they were, like, living in, like, England in the 1800s and obviously, like, hated women.
It's so weird.
It's really weird. Like, there's...
Because we're not so removed, but we are obviously so removed from a lot of those times. But, like, obviously still embedded in part of that culture, but... So much of everything we understand is through a specific lens that we can't always see.
And it's really funny because it's like Darwin, like, I'm not going to, like, rag on Darwin. He's the most, like, he literally changed the whole history of, like, every way that we observe life on Earth. Like, he's, like, has an amazing brain. But him and some of his peers and all these people throughout the years, it's so interesting, all the false, horrible studies that they get published because they're ignoring like the fact that like maybe the women can have sex with other men.
Right.
Like it's always the men who are cheating. Like, they're like
looking at species.
Yeah, mean? they literally think that men, because they have small gametes,
are we
like sperm, like
about?
Humans, but they put it on every animal. Okay. They're like the men are meant to fuck around, women are meant to be docile and stay at home, and they say that about like animals that they're studying. And then over time, all these people are realizing like these women are fucking around like crazy. Like this, they're, and then they're. Observations are all wrong, and they're like, well, we can't really figure out why these things are happening. And then that's how they end the study, and it's like, no, because the women are just doing something different. Right. And they're not like staying at home with the man. It's so weird. It's like you realize it's so, it's honestly hilarious, and it's
that
a really funny book
that. Yeah, that they cool.
And it's so interesting and so good, and it's like one of those things that we're, I think we're speaking to people who like love science, I think, who listen to this podcast. And I love science so much that I also love to rag on it so hard. You know what I mean? There's like the whole other faction of the world where it's like, you need to believe and understand scientists.
Yeah, it's like literally inside of baseball again. It's like, it's good to criticize and be critical of the thing you're part of. But on the outside, we want people to trust science and like trust that most of it is... what do you say? Like it's trying to do the right thing, even if it's like beholden to its own biases.
And when science is really not doing the right thing, like being racist and being misogynist, it's extra fascinating to me because it's always placed in this like sort of, it's like
objective, objective,
right?
Which is trying to be
very pretentious.
You can see where they were blinded by their own bias, and they were not actually being objective, even though they were probably so high on themselves for being objective people.
Yeah.
It is a good reminder for any scientist, anyone who teaches or talks, to like have a little humility when it comes to the things we know.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course we want to say like, there are things that there's lots and lots of evidence for, but it is like, I don't want this to minimize the things like climate change that we see.
No,
so
I know,
much
I know,
for.
I know, I know, I know.
It
that's
is
why it's funny. It's like, I wish there was a way I could press a button and like make videos that only talk to people who like believe in climate change, and we can get like to the bottom of things. But then there's just like, we have to be so vast, because some people truly like don't believe scientists, because a lot of the information's accurate and hard to take.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, it's a really, really good book, obviously designed for people who love science to read.
Who run the world?
Man.
No, wait. The other day, a bunch of people said that they don't like that song, and I felt really embarrassed.
Oh, it was really hilarious. It was like our friends being like, well, no, because it's like Beyonce's saying this, and we're all like, no, girls don't run the world. Like, it was hilarious.
It was a bunch of girls, I guess.
Yeah, like being
that.
Like, this is not a fun song to sing like at a concert when we're all like, no, we don't. We're like so oppressed.
Like, fair.
Like, it'd be different if like that song came out and everything changed.
Right.
And like Angela Merkel's were all over the world.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Okay. Should we take a break and come back for cold showers?
Yeah.
Nice.
In a bit.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. People don't always realize that physical symptoms like headaches, teeth grinding even, which I do, even digestive issues can be indicators of stress. And let's not forget about doom scrolling. Sleeping too little, sleeping too much, which actually for me is like now, undereating or overeating. Stress shows up in all kinds of ways, and in a world that's telling you to do more, sleep less, and grind all the time. Hustle harder, hustle culture. Here is your reminder to take care of yourself, do less, and maybe try some therapy. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. Give it a try and see if online therapy can help lower your stress. Side note is sponsored by BetterHelp, and listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/sidenote. That's betterhelp.com/sidenote.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
My foot literally just fell asleep and it really hurts, like pins and needles.
Pins and needles are wild. Do I write it down? Is that an app?
Like, is there enough for that?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Often we do this? And then I look at them. I'm like, that's weird. I just wrote abstinence.
Oh, that was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, you think? Should we do abstinence?
Yeah.
We're just going to be like, yeah, dumb idea to teach abstinence and then move on. But I guess there might be interesting things.
Just, you know, write pins and needles for now. Okay. Y'all can sound off.
So
needle sounds great. I feel like we're going to talk about cold showers, and I feel like what prompted this also was a bit of us, like, we were just away and we weren't showering because we were like on a lake in a cabin. And
yeah. So
like
we didn't shower for 2 weeks.
Literally 2 weeks.
Let's go.
And obviously that is like not totally linked to cold showers, but we had experience coming home.
Wait, slow. What did you say? Obviously, that's like not musical chairs.
Oh, no, I forgot what I said. Not totally related to cold showers is what I think I was trying to say. Like, but it just made us think of showering, which we're going to talk about today, and whether or not like it, you need to do it that often.
But also, it's because the lake was quote unquote cold, and you were swimming in it, and I think maybe could have felt the effects of the Wim Hof of it all, because you do and have since then been like, coming, like, walking down the stairs, like, loopy, like, just had a hot shower midday. Now I can't do anything.
Yeah, this happens to me all the time.
And I'm like, then have a cold one.
I know. I know. And I am changing my mind, and I'm going to come around to it, but where do you want to start with this?
Okay, let me start. Let me start, because I got Roman bath history to go in with.
Oh, whoa.
So, Roman bathing. Also, do not ask me when that was.
Oh, no, isn't the Greek bathing hot? Greek bathing is gay.
They probably all were. No, everyone's gay.
Roman's gay. Roman's anti-gay, I thought.
No, but like, no, I was anti-gay.
History.
People
you
who like
to me about
people who have sex, men who have sex with men are also anti-gay.
Oh,
I'm just saying for sure Romans had sex, men had sex with men.
Sure,
women
sure.
Anyways, in my history course, Roman bathing is gay, but it was based around the practice of moving through a series of heated rooms that would always culminate in like a cold room. So that's when like the first like now that everyone's cold bathing again, they're like. The Romans did it. Now everyone's obsessed with being like,
how'd they get a cold?
It was deep. It was like caves.
I see. It was so like, they would like go into the ground. Whatever.
Yeah. And essentially, like, there is a lot of studies we're going to talk about today claiming a lot of positive benefits from cold showers, cold bathing, which could be jumping in like a really cold body of water. Or like those cryo chamber things. Mm-hmm. But most of the things that I'm talking about are just cold showers, things that you can do with cold showers.
Okay.
Like essentially studies done on people taking cold showers. But I also decided this week to listen to like a bunch of podcasts, like typed in like cold shower science. And like it is actually insane what people are saying out there. Like based on the science I read, it was a lot different than like what information people are getting from pop science type podcast places. Like for example, it doesn't have an immune
boosting
potential. Like whenever you look in that
whole culture that has evolved, I think, around cold showers that has probably been blown out of proportion.
Yeah,
probably comes from some, and we'll talk about like the legitimate research that's been done and the interesting findings and interesting hypotheses and theories, but like the way it's taking grip of like masculine culture.
It's insane. So wait, the guy
like,
I'm trying
remember
to
remember when
figure
you told
out
me also about that breathing book? It was like, breathe through your nose.
Oh my God. Okay.
And it was like, every man was like, did you know if you breathe through your nose,
like
you'll,
live forever. Okay. I honestly, I'm so sorry. Everyone, probably tons of you have read the book Breath. Like there's a bunch of amazing parts about like lungs and how they work, and lungs are so interesting and cool. It's where carbon dioxide goddamn leaves and where oxygen goes in. It's like such a cool process. So the first like quarter of the book is amazing scientific like literature, like really well done to the point that I was like, this is so fun to read. Then it just goes off the motherfucking rails. And it's like, because it was so good at the beginning, I think people really buy into this hard science. Mm. And then he quickly switches his tone to this insane like shit, and I think so many people buy it because they were almost like hooked by the beginning. Mm. And it's very similar to what's happening with the cold showers thing. So there's this guy, he's like super jacked, he's like always on, he's like the number one like podcast about cold showers. I forget his name, I'm gonna look him up. But essentially what he
but you don't mean Wim Hof, who kind of like invented the cold bath.
No, like he's a whole other thing. And like, yeah, good for you. Like, I didn't know you could get famous from just like getting in cold water, but he was able to do that. But this guy, it's like, so for example, like there's this study that he keeps talking about, and it's like very like, I'm trying to find him. It's very like compelling because the self-reported results are really positive from people. Right. Huberman Lab.
Okay.
SciComm Media, the Huberman Lab podcast. And I know I've like seen so many like sexy, like gay masculine men be like, new Huberman app's amazing. It's like very, it's very like, the guy's jacked and he's just telling you how to like live your life better. Okay. He's just the new version
beyond
of that.
Just cold showers. It's like a self-help.
But like but he truly has like 17 episodes about cold showers. Okay. And I listened to them and I was just like, this is crazy. So there's this one study where they got people to have cold showers for 30 seconds, 60 seconds and 90 seconds. And they essentially like, and then people who didn't have cold showers at all, they tried and asked them to do it every single day, twice a day, different amounts of people. Some people did it, some people didn't. And the results were like amazing in the sense that they were like, I felt really so much good. Better. And there's this interesting thing that happened that he does not explain well, which is that their self-reported sick days went down,
mm-hmm.
but their illness days didn't go down.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like those days.
They felt, it's like they actually called in sick less to work, but they were just as sick through the year.
Yes. So it's like there are days where you likely call in sick and maybe you're like, never mind. Like I'm actually like, you know what I mean? Like you might actually like be like, I thought I was getting sick. You're actually fine. But their actual illness days were they didn't get sick less. Right. They thought they were sick less.
Yes.
And they definitely felt like they had increased energy. And there are studies like done on mice and done on people to find that there are like specific cytokines and chemicals that do get released because you're essentially putting your body under like quick stress. So there's a lot of like fascinating science to back up what could be happening, right. but none of it is like corroborated. And whenever you get into the, like the immune function of it all, it falls apart. And one thing that bothers me is that like, if you actually want to help your immune system, you get a vaccine. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like,
there's like a subset biochemical of science. Like I'm only going to do these natural things.
Yeah. Yeah. But even just like, we got our fourth dose recently and I was like, this is the gym. This is the only thing that's kind of like quote unquote the gym for my immune system.
Fair. And like, we understand the mechanism
how it works.
To it.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Like scientists can go down to the microscopic level and say like, here's what the proteins are doing. Here's what's changing. Here's how it binds. Here's how it goes through your DNA. Like, it's like that specific.
And I looked hard. There is none of that for immune function for cold showers, fair. But people are telling you that there is.
Right. Because a lot of it's around like reporting, feeling better. And maybe there's outcomes in some studies. This is just anecdotal. Yeah. I'm not saying I saw them. Perhaps there are some studies that show that people did feel like didn't get sick as much, but that is, and that's still interesting. I think it goes back to our conversation earlier where it's like, sometimes you have to leave room that just because something isn't proven yet.
Yes,
doesn't
yeah,
mean
for sure.
It might not be in the future.
No, I honestly think
they might be validated in everything they're saying.
I have a goddamn cold. I had a cold shower before this. I love cold showers, but I'm not sitting there being like, well, not going to get sick today. I'm just like, it does wake me up. It does cause a specific shock and stress response that works. Like I genuinely, like there are a lot of interesting like beta endorphins that get released in mice and like things where I'm like, it's not ever, I think, going to be a bad thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm enjoying it.
And it's related to something called, like, hormesis. You ever heard of her?
Okay, coming to the stage, snatch the fan for the clock, clock, clock. Oh, we haven't talked about Beyonce. Continue.
Oh, my God. Hormesis is a really good drag name.
It's such a good drag name. Do you want it? Or do I want it? I don't know.
We'll debate that.
Right, continue.
But basically, that's just, like, the idea that a level of stress on your body can be good.
Yes.
Obviously, when you go to the extreme, your body falters, but this is why exercise is good. You're going through hormesis, you're stressing your body.
Yeah.
And as a result, it's like oxidative stress, which is not good in like large amounts. If you deprive your body of oxygen, you die. But in like these quantities that are like stressing you, but not too much, it can trigger a lot of great things in your body. It triggers, in the case of like exercise, immune response. It increases like blood flow. It increases like all these different biological markers, which they can see. And what I find really interesting related to most of these hormesis things is that they often more recently have been linked to like increasing lifespan. That's been like a lot of research from like There's a book called Lifespan by David St. Clair. I really liked. I think it is somewhat, not controversial, but I know like he sometimes gets criticized because he has very intense beliefs and he's kind of on the cutting edge of like these mice studies.
Wait, does he think that cold
he mentioned there's a very short moment in the book about cold showers and he talks about like some of the possible mechanisms there might be and that there is evidence that it increases lifespan, but it's like just one small section. But it's all to do with that same idea of like these stressors. It says there's a lot more, like there's also some evidence for saunas, so people who are in saunas and like when they put, you know, test subjects like mice and stuff through like heat extremes, you see a similar thing, but there's way more evidence for cold.
Yeah, interesting.
Which is interesting. So it's nice, it's not nice, but it's interesting that he was able to say saunas might work too, but there's not nearly as much evidence.
Well, it's kind of one of those things, like it's like this happens so much with pop science. It's like these are really cool studies, like cold plunging, all these things. They are like, I do them. It was my personality for a winter, two winters ago. I would go to Lake Ontario. I would jump in the water. People would be watching me. People would like literally clap. I'd be like, slap, da ding, da da, clap, clap, clap. Like I was just like voguing out of the water. Like Hermeses is here. Like I felt so good. And they were like, oh my God, you must like love Wim Hof. You're going to live forever. And I'd be like, okay, like what? No. Like I'm doing this. It makes me feel amazing. There is like a documented sort of personal in my journaling, I'm like, I just had a cold. I like read what I wrote and it's like, I'm fucking high on life. Like that is a fine thing to feel, but it's just when things get pushed so far to be like, now you're going to live longer. It's like, okay, maybe in the future there will be some crazy small like statistic that stands out like that, but you can't jump in cold water and expect they're going to live longer. Life is so much more complicated than that. And I mean, it's just weird how these things get pulled so into like the zeitgeist in these weird ways from science.
Yeah,
from
because science. Honestly, it is a simple solution and everyone kind of wants a simple solution, right? And it's like, it's the perfect thing. It's the Buckley's of health where you're like, they make it taste bad. So you think you're going to get better. So it's like, it doesn't have to taste bad.
Yeah.
The cold shower gives you enough of a oh my God. Yeah. And I'm not saying it doesn't help at all. And I don't know about Buckley's. No, I've never
it
like.
It does help. Yeah, we know
but
that.
That moment mentally, it is also like, I think key for a lot of people thinking it's a short term pain, but then I get all this gain from it. Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when people would rather have a pill that can make you fit than like work out for years and years and years and years. It's like really exhausting to think about that. If you could just do something for 15 seconds a day and be like healthy, that's like a pretty amazing claim. It's why I think people buy into it.
That's interesting. That's a really good point because it's like hard enough, but it's actually not that hard to
do. You can viscerally feel the difference. Your body clenches. You probably like, you no, I don't do this, so I don't actually know.
Just turn a dial on your goddamn shower. Well, it's very easy.
Yeah, you can do it easily. Yeah.
Know what I do? This is a really fun ritual. I want everyone to enjoy this. So first of all, I don't really have hot showers to begin with. Like they're always like warm to start. Then depending on my vibe of how I just woke up, like if I'm like pepping my step, I'm like, I think I might have already said this, I only do a 7 second cold. Okay. If I'm hungover, I'm like, we might have to do 30 seconds to a minute because it's like you're so suffering that like you need
to
go
like so and much then worse it's like, to me when I'm suffering and make myself suffer
well,
more
because it's like how much do you need in my head is like what I do. And it's really fun, like just now
it's
because
like
I was doing
it for me, I'm like, okay, am I taking 2 pills or am I doing 4?
Exactly. Pre-podcast, I was like, yo, I'm going to have to do at least 20 seconds. Yo, I'm going to have to do at least 20 seconds because I'm like having to be peppy. And I just, it's fun. It's honestly fun. It's like nothing bad is going to come from it. You're going to feel good. There's a lot of amazing science to explain why you will feel better. Why not even placebo vibes. Like there are specific chemicals that it does release. It causes a stress response. There's like when you do cold plunges, they only thing you kind of have to know is that you can have this like gasp moment, like it's a cold shock.
Oh, your body like automatically does, you mean?
Yeah, it's called a cold shock response. So it's why like whenever someone's like, this is an amazing thing to do with no danger, like sometimes the Wim Hof of it all is like they try and make it seem super dangerous and cool. But really what it is that if you jump into a really cold body of water that's like deep, you might have this cold shock response that causes you to gasp and suck water in. So you could like, quote unquote.
I see, that is dangerous.
That is, that is dangerous, but it's like.
So like, that's actually dangerous.
But I've done this so many times where I'm like, okay, like you can just
and I don't,
jump in, not up under, like it's only an immediate thing. I just think, right. I think it's like, just do it and don't worry about the cold response because it's not as big a deal.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think I'm ever going to jump into a frozen lake. Like I, no matter what, even if I found out this was like, make me live forever. In that case, maybe. But I think, yeah, like,
it's why not many people do it.
I don't like the shower aspect of it. I'm like, okay, I could every now and then. I certainly don't love the idea because in the morning, you're much more a morning person than I am. Like, I feel like I'm way more likely to be kind of grumpy and off in the morning. I think a cold shower could make that worse. But maybe I'll try. Maybe it'll make it better.
Well, okay. You also have like a relatively like...
low pain tolerance?
No, I think it, like your life's like... From what I've read, and there was a book that got me
into
this. What
were you going to say? My life is what?
Like, pretty good. Like, you don't have, you don't, no, like, I've read about people who have resorted to this.
Your life is so bad.
No.
You definitely
life,
need the cold
my
shower.
My life is so good. And I'm doing this is just to put a little icing on the cake that is my life. But I'm saying there are people, like, who, there's some pretty valid arguments about how it can help with, like, pain therapy. Like, people who are in a lot of extreme pain. And there's some funny studies that think like you're just putting yourself in all these painful situations that other pain feels less painful. There's a similar study that I don't really love with depression. Like it's when you read it, it's kind of vague. But again, with self-reported people with depression, it is found to help. They don't know why. One theory is literally that you build, because over time you build a tolerance to the cold like really quickly, within weeks. Like people who are doing cold plunges can start to last minutes to 2 minutes, like after
your body
like, being
just like
shocked the first time. And they think that it's helping you deal with depression because you're literally just like adapting to stress and adapting to these things that
but
I'm like,
doesn't
that
it also
seems...
release like, you know, positive hormones.
Sorry.
Like dopamine and stuff like that. That is
it does. But sorry, they said parts of that in it, which I don't like. And like, I'm just like, that's kind
it's
of vague. But like, if you're someone with depression and you're doing this and it's helping you, like that's
for sure.
Yeah.
That's like, it's nice because it is harmless in that sense. Like, everyone needs to know, like, the goal is not to get hypothermia, but no one's really going to do that.
If your joints and your fingers or thumbs start to hurt, that's when you know you're going to go to hypothermia and get out.
Yeah, but if you're doing it in your shower, it's very unlikely.
No, you're not going to get hypothermia.
So that's why that's kind of like, why poo on it? It's like, even if it's not fully substantiated and you're in the shower, you can poo on it and you can wash it off.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's no, like exactly.
It's just like, why? It's not hurting anyone.
I think
so if it makes
everyone
you feel good,
needs to have a cold shower today. Who's listening
today?
Yeah, just do it.
And you mean like cold enough that it shocks you?
Yeah, I go like on my little dial all the way to the left. Or
that's sick.
It's not.
No, like I've literally never gone even close to that.
Okay, well
on our dial.
Well, then you're gonna feel absolutely amazing after.
I think like some no. Okay, so this got brought up too because we were and I talked about it before going to the cottage. Like, I have a severe fear of cold water in particular, but in general, like, maybe our tolerances are just different. But this was my goal at the cottage at the lake, was to go in every day and force myself, try to get through this
and
mental barrier. I did. It wasn't so cold, to be honest, right? Like, it was cold to me, but I think, like, it wasn't, like, anything near ice water. Like,
no, it wasn't, but it was still cold.
I usually would go for a run, and then I'd be like, it's really nice.
That makes it even colder.
I know, but when you're, like, really sweating, it can feel really nice to cool down that way. I don't know why I'm saying this. Just to say...
Well, I would say then you came back, and we're, like, went in the shower, and you were like, I've completely changed my perspective.
That is true. So what I found interesting was when I sadly hate to admit this. I really like really hot showers. Like it feels so good to me. So I typically have always had a hot shower, but after being there and coming back, I put the shower to where I normally would, and it was way too hot.
Yeah, that's
and
what we're saying. You get
adapted. To,
yeah,
like, not that I wanted it freezing, but I put it to like a much cooler temperature than I would, and I thought that was interesting. So you're right. I probably just need more time to adapt. And I think I've heard people say like instead of trying to go all the way freezing first, you just like do a little bit.
Oh, okay.
You're telling everyone to.
I say everyone go all the way freezing. I'm just like
I can't. That's like literal torture.
It's not. We're doing an episode about how...
Literal torture.
We're talking about how it's going to improve your energy, improve your cognitive ability, make you feel better. There's random stuff saying...
Even when I go in the lake,
that's fine. I scream too. That's part of it. And it's... Okay, apparently after only 6 immersions, the cold shock response gets like halved when you're doing it in the like...
ice
lakes. Like, your body can adapt to this stuff quickly. Like, do it for 1 second, then two, then three, then four.
So, yeah.
Like, okay. it's not something that's going to, like,
shock you.
You're going to, like, have sort of, like, progression with it, which will feel cool. You're going to get better at dealing with cold water. And it's only going to help you. Like, the studies only say
I'm
it could
saying,
help.
I think there might be people out there like me that if they go too cold too fast... might not like it.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, like,
but the
it's,
post,
like, it's like working out too hard too fast.
Yeah, okay.
In your body for a week.
Fine. I'm just trying to tell people to do something cool. Okay. And there's also a really cool study that the NHS did during the pandemic that the results aren't out for, where half of the nurses at hospitals would not go cold plunge and the other half would have to go cold plunging. And they saw really positive results for, like, coping with the pandemic as healthcare professionals. Annoying, because all it says was really positive responses and the study's not out. So I'm like, I'd love to read that. But, like, there are people and places who are actually saying we could, like, quote unquote, diagnose cold plunging to help deal with maybe stress and things like that.
Yeah, and I think that's really cool. I love that's like it's cool that exercise and healthy eating and this kind of stuff can be a first-hand diagnosis.
Yeah.
Or even just like over medicine, like it's a great, I'm not saying don't take your medicine, I'm just saying it's awesome to realize that there are lots of these things that we realize, even like yoga and just like deep breathing. I'm not talking about that book, but it just in like that kind of like soft, meditative way can be actually really helpful.
Yeah.
And it's good for you.
This is just breath all over again. It's like, obviously breathing's good. Like, obviously like slow breathing. We know that that's good. There's really cool information about what it can do to the, like your parasympathetic nervous system. Like, these things are good. Cold showers are good. I encourage everyone to have cold showers.
Well, I remember,
but it's
one
like,
time,
don't take it so far, people.
I had heard that, sometimes people who smoke cigarettes carry a lot less tension in their shoulders, and that it was hypothesized that's because they breathe deeply so much more often.
Whoa, that's cool.
I mean, so it's like, it is interesting to think
do yoga.
Yeah, like introducing
don't
those.
Smoke, do yoga.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with the temperature thing, it's like, humans probably were subject, like, we live in temperature controlled environments all the time now. Our bodies are obviously designed to be in pretty extreme temperatures, like to be going from really, like, especially for communities that live like where we do naturally before we had like homes and heating and air conditioning, would go through really extreme temperatures. And so it's kind of like, okay, that's probably like a normal state to be like going from one to the other.
It's also like, when I think about the future, I just think about heat waves and death from heat and hot and the lack of coldness on our planet, that I, in the winter, like to cold plunge because I'm just like, this is a unique thing to be able to do right now on our planet with global warming and climate change. Like, it's a gift that I get this gorgeous freezing lake that I can just literally bike to and jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like in the future, it's like, I don't know how cold that lake's ever going to be. Yeah. No, I'm serious. Like there's a part of me that's like, enjoy it while you can.
Yeah.
Which I think is like, that's nothing to do with the science of why cold showers are helpful, but it's like a nice
motivator for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even
to appreciate coldness.
Yeah. Yeah.
While we have it.
Because so many people are like, especially in Canada, it's like people complain about the winter so much, and then it's just like the summer comes and everyone's like, well, we're dying from heat. And it's like, oh,
yeah.
Whoa.
And more people, at least where we live, are like, remember when there was like snow on Christmas? It's like, it's so much more rare now. When we were kids, it was like, it would always snow on Christmas.
Yeah.
I know this is,
but
like,
then it still
over,
does.
It still does. But like in anecdotally, it feels like less often.
Yeah. I never know if that's true. Like, I just want to read, cause I always am just like, is that just something that like we say? Cause like, Canadians love talking about weather. That's like all we can
maybe
talk about. Because like when I think about the like half a meter of snow we got this year, is like,
this year was,
wasn't that around Christmas? It was crazy
after, but
remember, and like the city just shut down for 3 days because it was actually like no one could move. Like things like that where I'm like, that was crazy.
Yeah,
like that was
true. Like we are still getting
so much snow that I actually couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it.
Before we, I don't know if it's okay if I like switch the topic to just showering in general.
Oh, I was like, to Beyonce, sure, great album.
To
okay,
Beyonce. We can talk about
yeah,
that.
No, I want to talk about actual showering because I don't
because
know.
That was the other element of being at the lake, is that we truly didn't shower for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I didn't smell, and obviously like it's hard to know, but I don't think I did.
But then we came home and I smelled my bag and I almost ralphed.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm like, what was that?
Okay. So here's what I think. Well, interesting little tidbit. If you spend 15 minutes a day washing, like in a shower.
Well, that's a lot.
But for some people, it's not. Like, some people like shower for like half an hour. Isn't that?
What?
That's a problem. I know. Like, I truly think my showers are 3 minutes.
I'm a white person. I don't wash my legs. I shower in like 30 seconds.
Well, your fucking cold shower is 30 seconds, you said.
Okay, fine. I'm hot for 10, and I wash
anyway,
for 10 seconds.
So I rounded this down because the stat was 30 minutes, and I was like, that's insane.
What?
But this was half of that. So if you do 50 minutes a day and you happen to live to 100, you would spend almost 10,000 hours of your life washing, like in a shower, which is more than a year of your life. So the person's argument was like, you could get a year of your life back, or like some of that.
Well,
time
but
back.
Some people enjoy that, obviously.
Yeah,
right?
It's true. And like,
but no, wait, you need to come sit in front of us and explain to us why you're washing yourself for 15
long.
Minutes. But again, I am a white person who like is gross, so I don't know if I have a great
well
example.
That's what, so I read this other book called Clean a while back, and I was gonna make an episode on it. I tried to stop showering, and it was a really hard experience.
But you just did it for 2 weeks.
I know. But oh, you know what? We had a lake. That was what the difference was.
Oh, like
what,
you can't go in water.
Yeah. So when I stopped showering, I really was like, my skin is getting so greasy. I feel like I'm so associating showering with waking up. At least at the cottage, I would jump in the water. I'd feel refreshed.
Wow. Someone likes a cold plunge.
Well, not even cold, but you know what I'm saying, right? It's a totally different thing. Like we had access, and I'm just thinking that's why we weren't smelling so bad, is because we were going in the water. I would like rub my body in the water to like make myself like get rid of whatever was there. But this book goes into a lot how we have been overconditioned to think that we need to wash way more than we actually probably do.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really need to change that, because I do have a shower every morning. Granted, it is only a few minutes and it's quick, and I don't wash my whole body. But and like hygiene is obviously so important. It's an amazing adaptation humans have come up with. I didn't know this, but hygiene actually means disease avoidance. It's a technical term. So in animals, they measure this.
They
as
have
well.
Hygiene.
Yeah, like birds, like monkeys, bats. They pick things out of each other. It's not just like necessarily washing in water. It's just about like literally avoiding crabs. Avoid crabs that have parasites.
Animals have so much hygiene.
Yeah. It was like raccoons, badgers, and lemurs have designated latrine sites where they go to the bathroom.
Oh, man, so
like
I love that.
They're aware that there's like...
that bird video.
Oh, yeah.
We saw the coolest video of... So, yeah, go.
You go.
Oh.
Well, it was just saying like birds don't defecate in their own nest. Like they.
Yeah, we saw this. Like my friend showed me this video of a baby bird. Okay, we could not figure out what was happening, but it was a baby bird taking a shit. But the shit that came out looked like a gorgeous... perfect membrane balloon. Sack balloon that the mom immediately grabbed with her beak and flew off. And we found out that it's like the young birds will shit like with a membrane around it, so that the parents can make sure that they can get any diseases away from the nest. Also, if they shat in the nest, it would attract from smell like lots of predators, and that the like mother birds will fly to different sites to drop it in order to make sure that like it doesn't show where their nest is. Some birds will always make sure they drop it into water, but it was the coolest little, I'm going to put on
never
our Instagram.
Never ever seen
I'm gonna put
that
on Instagram.
Happen ever before.
It was amazing. Birds are so cool. And
literally,
they're more involved
than us. A
little
baby bird just like flipped its butt up. A little like balloon came out. The mother took it, or father, I'm assuming it's the mother, but I don't know, and flew away.
Yeah.
And we were just like, what just happened?
It was so cool. Like we were like, it was amazing to watch. I will put it on our Instagram when this comes out tomorrow. Go to ASAP Science on Instagram. You'll see a cool balloon shit. But it's a great example of hygiene.
But think about going back to like humans have kind of like over commoditized hygiene to cleanliness, right? So the book makes a big distinction between being clean and being hygienic. Like hygiene is super important. And in fact, it's like in the book, they state that it's one of the most cost-effective methods of like taking care of humans. Like looking at hygiene is like an amazing thing that we have to do.
As someone who's unhygienic, I'm like, okay, I need.
Well, it's like
that.
Toilets and water. You are not unhygienic.
No one really
in the Western world. Like, if you have access to proper toilets, showers, like.
No, but before COVID, I was like, people will wash their hands when they leave the subway. I'd never thought of that. And everyone was like, yeah, that's disgusting. And I was like, I've never thought that. I like eat a bag of chips on the subway and like rub it on the pole.
Right, but you're alive and you're fine. And so,
that's what I'm saying. I'm unhygienic though.
But that's maybe could be hygienic. But I think like in some ways it might be going
piss,
to the extreme.
Piss, never wash
constantly
my hands.
Constantly washing hands, right? Because you have to remember that we have like microbes that are really important for us. And every time you wash your hands or wash your body, you're actually stripping them off your body. And that is why they believe. So this happened to me when I stopped showering. I felt like so greasy.
Yeah.
And the thought is that it's because the microbes are gone. And so it takes a while for them to repopulate before they'll eat the oil on your skin again.
Cool.
Like you're literally in harmony, right? In a balance with like the way nature is.
So it will, over time, you will be less greasy.
Yeah, and I've done that with my hair. Like I really rarely wash my hair. I remember when I first started, it was really hard. It was like really greasy. It was easier because I could cut my hair short and then there's a lot
less
cool.
grease.
That's cool. But I just thought that was interesting. I also thought it was interesting that soap operas were literally designed to sell soap. Did you know?
What?
Like it made me think of
soap operas?
Yeah, soap operas. It was like they started as like audio talkies is what they were called. And they played during the day when mostly like housewives were able to like listen to radio. And so they would be like selling products through these like stories. Isn't that crazy? And
also,
over time,
soap is evil. Because Lever, the company, like was from British colonization, went to like the Democratic Republic of Congo, the current place, took it over and named a literal city called like Leverville, where they enslaved people to create palm, like in these horrible positions to get the palm oil to come back to Britain to make soap. And then that became Unilever. And it's like their history is a truly colonizing a country. And like using British rule and capitalism to just make soap and like demolished this like part of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Then they just picked up and left, and they're still suffering from it. So it's like, yeah. That's soap also that we could wipe our ass. Okay. Sorry. I hate soap. Wow. I'm only cold showering with no soap from now
but
on. I'm kidding. That's not true.
I'm not saying soap isn't important, by the way.
Oh, what?
Like soap is important.
Oh, it's because you said soap operas. It just made me mad for some reason.
No, I mean, obviously.
No, soap is important. I know.
That is part of hygiene, right? So like, but it's like kind of the amount and the obsession that our culture goes to. I think that some scientists and groups of people try to fight back against, to be like, you don't have to shower as much. Like you don't have to literally scrub your body every day. Mm-hmm. That's not what being hygienic is. And that is often intertwined with like capitalistic endeavors.
Yeah.
BO, body odor, was also a marketing term that was first invented.
Whoa.
And that was then correlated with the sale of deodorants. And it was like, do you want to hide your smell? And it was marketed to people because body odor at first was like a problem for like a subset of the of people, but then it started getting marketed to people as a preventative measure. Just in case you don't realize you have it, make sure you buy this. And so like it is intertwined with a good thing, being clean and making sure you're not getting sick. But then it's also like then taken advantage of.
And we get our soap from Nate Makes Soap. My friend makes the soap. I would encourage everyone to look on that bottle, and if it says Unilever, don't buy it. Don't buy a bottle.
Yeah, true.
Buy soap
or
that's like handmade.
Also, we use soap from Refill Depot as well.
Yeah.
That is like at least you're supporting like less packaging and waste as well.
Yeah, it's true. When we went to get our fourth dose, I had to kill time after like the 5 minutes just to like make sure I was fine. And I was walking up and down the aisles of like Shoppers Drug Mart, which is like our CVS or like a pharmacy, and was like, this is hell. Like just like the shampoo place, I was like, no, like what? There's so like many things, like hundreds of bottles. It's so busy. People are like basing their personality around like which is the one that they use.
I mean, it's hard not to fall prey to. If it's not that, it could be something else. It could be other skin treatments that you do. Like everyone's kind of has their thing that they.
I'm just saying it's surprising. Like when you go to those places, you see like how many options there are, and you're like, this is insane. Because when it comes down to it, like it's soap. Like when it comes down to the soap that you're buying, it's like it's soap or body wash.
Right.
It's
for the
so
most
weird.
Part,
yeah.
Like it's like a very simple thing that people can literally make themselves.
Yeah.
That it's not like there's some crazy smart genius
and
who has a new
the
brand.
The coolest
of soap.
Packaging and all these ways to like tell you crazy shit that it would do, but in your head it's like, it's not doing that.
It's soap.
Yeah.
It's not that deep.
It's not that deep. Cool.
Yeah, that was kind of all I had to say.
No, that was fun. I'm going to have cold showers. I'm going to use soap still. Don't worry. But maybe like less. I don't know.
Yeah. I would like to try to shower less. But I think it will be hard because it is also so embedded in my morning routine that I like when I tried it. Like, I would like to make this a goal. I was obviously able to do it when I was at the lake, but I had that water to go. To me, it's like I don't need to wash my body. I just like sometimes like getting wet is nice.
I'm gonna keep having showers and, like, for sure. I love
a
shower.
But I appreciate people who
don't.
Like, there's a lot of people who are like every 3 days, every 4 days, every 5 days shower.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
Don't and aren't gross.
Yeah,
you know, there's a point when you have to realize if you smell, but that could be more a problem of like wearing the same clothes or, you know, like if you change and wear, I don't know. But I'm gonna try that and we'll see if I try cold showers. I might try like a lukewarm shower first.
Find out next week if his lukewarm shower does anything. Okay, it won't. Peace.
Bye.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.